Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. It is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers of all of us. And we're going to do this program today, Bible study on Freedomizer Radio. And I've been, in the last month, I've been out of town twice, and once we canceled it, and then last weekend, Raven did it, who will probably be joining us here as a co-host shortly. But before she does come on, I want to just a couple of things. I'll give you a number here. It's 319 area code 527-6208. If anybody wants to call in and make a comment or ask a question, more than welcome you to do that. Any questions you want to ask, any comments you want to make, I just want to try to limit the content of the questions to the context of what we're talking about in the Bible, in the particular chapter we're talking. Not that any other question would be wrong. It's just that, hold on just a moment.
Hi there, Carol.
There you go. Hello there. Not that any other comment or question would be wrong. It's just that I want to try to limit it just to keep it within the general context of our Bible reading. Or we could end up spending a lot of time on what chasing rabbit trails and different things, because there's infinite number of topics in the scripture. And the other thing, and again, every week when I say this on a Bible study, it seems to be the most oxymoronish thing I've ever said, and that is, we will keep the language and the statements and the wording appropriate for public radio. And it's a shame I have to say that, but unfortunately I do, and those who've listened to me for, especially the first 2.5 to 3 years of the program, I've been doing it now 3 years and 1 month. The first 2.5 years was insane, the things people were saying on our, that'll be cut off immediately. Okay, Raven is on, and I'll have you then, if you wouldn't mind. In fact, even if you mind, it's necessary, and that is to, and I know you don't, it is to say a prayer for the Holy Spirit to provide the teaching and the inspiration, the spiritual meaning of today.
Amen. That was not my prayer. Father, we are...
Oh, okay.
Father, we're so grateful for today, Lord. It's a beautiful Mother's Day, and I know that people are spending time with their families today, and I just got back from mine, and you know, for those who don't have family to spend with, we just pray, Lord, that they will come to you and realize that you are their family, Lord, that you can give them all the love that they may feel that they're missing from family or what have you. And mm-hmm. we know, Lord, that you can replace, you are all the love that we really need. We can get all the love and the joy and the comfort directly from you when we feel like we don't have it anywhere else. And we're just so thankful for that, Lord, that you can give us all of that when we don't feel that we have it anywhere else. But that's sort of the problem, is that sometimes we come to you last. The Father, remind us to come to you first. To come to you first for our comfort, and to remember that others, even though we sometimes feel like they're where we're supposed to go first, but we should put you first, Lord. And in doing so, the love that we get from you will pour through us, family and our friends, and we will love them even more because of it. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, very good.
I realize that had nothing to do with, I'm sorry. I realize that didn't talk about the Holy Spirit leading this, but it's just, that's where the Holy Spirit led me in prayer, so.
Don't worry about it. Not a big thing. Any prayer, you know, that's a good topic. I've had quite a few questions about what should I say in prayer. I don't know how to word it. None of us know how to word anything to God. I mean, that's a ridiculous concept even. Folks, the thing that God looks at is the moment you go to him, it means one thing, you trust him. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you to go to him for everything and full dependence on him. So the words we choose, you know, and I don't think anything is more, gosh, I use the word annoying, than to hear in a Bible study or in a church or even in a restaurant before you eat your cheap soup or whatever, than people to go on and on and on. I've been in meetings of Christian groups and we'll go into these prayers. And that God's not looking for an orator. If he wanted one, he would have made everybody one. He's looking for those who go to him. That's the key. Going to him is the key. All right, we're in John 15. And Jesus is talking in John 15. We started this little mini-series or whatever you call it, John 14, 15, and 16. A couple of statements were made that except for about maybe 7 or 8 verses at the absolute most out of 3 chapters in John 14, 15, and 16, every word is in red except for about 6, 7 verses, and out of all 3 chapters, and this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. And in all 3, he has one underlying theme, and that is the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives, and specifically in the lives of born-again believers. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you of sin, and God's grace in Romans 2:4, the grace of God that leads to godly repentance, is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. So he does convict, attempt to show you the need, however you want to put it, of salvation. But the chapter 14, 15, and 16 are so good to read occasionally, and I do that just to remember that the Holy Spirit is my first go-to in everything. In fact, the church I go to today, part of the message today, he took John chapter, I know, he took Luke chapter 1, and he read verses, make sure I give it to you. He mentioned these verses in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 through 38. And he highlighted on the point with this that when the angel Gabriel had told Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Savior, and she was agreeing to it, in verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She had never knew a man, had any relations physically with a man. How would she have the child? Now, she wasn't saying that out of unbelief. She just honestly and sincerely was confused and looking for God to give her an answer to that. How would it be? What is a big difference? The motive in which you ask a question is where the lack of faith or the expression of faith comes. It's not the words you say. And as agreeable she was to this and never once questioned God's ability to do it, she asked an innocent question in Luke 1:34. Then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, being I know not a man?" And what he did is he actually tied this in with James 1:5, where it says that if you lack wisdom, go to God and he will give to you, regardless of what you've done in the past, he will give to you and he will give it abundantly to you and he will give it to you. There are no disclaimers unless you don't believe. But what he was tying this in with, and he made some beginning of a couple of comments. You don't have. She didn't go to anybody in the church. She didn't go out and spend $400 on study guides that the church was selling. She didn't have to go to any exotic meetings in the Hawaiian Islands or anything. She didn't have to go to a counselor at church, and I gave him credit for saying that, because he's part of a mega denomination. And I just thought Luke 1:28 through 38 tied in with James 1:5 is tremendous, because if there's a mistake that I see in the churches today, and this is an opinion, and on my beginning of my, where I put some verbiage in schedule a radio program, I say I will point us to scriptural biblical answers and not man's opinion, including my own. But I'm going to give you not an opinion on what the Bible says, my opinion. If there is a downfall of the church today of lack of power and lack of our work being blessed, and I'm going to say my opinion here, it's not my opinion on the Bible verse. It's my opinion on the failure of the Laodicean church today is that we do not believe James 1:5 is valid.
Yes.
But if we believed it was valid, and if we knew God would give us the answer on everything, if we knew it, then there's only two conclusions. You either rebel against it, you don't want God's opinion, which is very possible, or you don't believe it. And I just thought that was neat that he expounded about this Luke 1:28 through 38. And he didn't read every verse. He just gave the basic highlights, and she said, "How can this be?" But he said, "Do you notice the whole conversation in question?" And her acceptance of the answer was to God and from God, not to man. And I just thought that was kind of neat. And that basically is where we are in John. John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of a believer. And yet, I got to be honest here, Raven, it's only about the last 3 years, 5 years. I'll tell you when it was, and you would know this. You would know the time frame. It was a time frame when we were going to Napoleon on Sunday nights for Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And you had taken part in some of that. So that was several years ago, but it wasn't 20, 30 years ago, maybe 7
right.
at the most, 8. And we finished a study in the Old Testament, and I asked the people, I said, "What would you like to do?" I mean, we're 3-4 weeks away from the next, from being finished with the book we're in, and what would you like? And if you remember Dan, he made the comment. He says that he hit me with a balloon full of water. He said, "I would like you to go through the book of Revelation." Well, because I've been educated in the church that only the esoteric people who write commentaries and write up in the clouds can understand Revelation. I was petrified, but I went home that night. About 2 a.m, I had something. I'm going to guess I have 10 to 15 different commentaries. I had them all open on the floor. First of all, getting the book, all the books to stay open is a trick I couldn't do. And I'm sitting here, and I'm reading what this one guy says, and I'm reading what another one says, and they're sort of contradicting each other. And then it became utter chaos. And about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit brought to my attention the John 14, 15, and 16, and the summation of what it is. And he basically said to me in my, and Raven, you always say the Holy Spirit tells you to do things, and I don't want people to take that little statement lightly. I don't know, think she's ever heard an audible voice. I haven't. But the Holy Spirit very clear to me. He made it very clear to me. He says, Carl, you don't have much clue about what Revelation is. And are you going to believe that I'm the teacher or not? And if you're going to not believe I'm the teacher, then go ahead, get confused. And I got to tell you, it was one of those, you call it V8 moments, which that's good you do that because we don't live far from the main Campbell's Soup factory in the Midwest.
That's true.
But in fact, we went to Napoleon to do a Bible study. But it was just one of those things, and why I'm very sensitive on Romans 14, 15, and 16 is I'll never forget that night. It was almost a crisis point where the Holy Spirit says to me, Carl, you've got three bookshelves full of all kinds of commentaries, different translations of the Bible, all kinds of Bible helps. I want you to, what I could hear him saying in my mind is, make a decision now. If you want me, I will open up the scriptures to you. If you don't, continue to struggle. And it wasn't anything threatening. He didn't say that I'm going to end up in the lake of fire because of it, although if you extrapolate it to its end, I guess that could become something where you no longer trust God in anything. And that moment, I said, the heck with it. This is how I answered the Holy Spirit. I said, the heck with it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to trust in nothing but you. And if it crashes, that's not my problem. And I meant that. And I'm going to tell you something, Raven. My entire life of Bible study changed at that moment. You always talk about how it amazes you how we can open, you can open up the book to something you haven't prepared, and you see it. That started happening to me, and I'm to the point right now where I will not read. I read commentaries. I'd rather read a commentary than the stupid newspaper or listen to the idiot newscast where you can't even watch a football game anymore without a political speech being written on the playing field. But I do, but I don't study the Bible with commentaries. And I'm going to tell you, that has changed more than 1,000%. The interest that I have in a Bible study is just, I can't wait to see what he's going to say today. Before it was a labor almost. It was a labor. It was work. It was like, it wasn't as bad as studying in college was, but it was effort. Now I think to myself, I wonder what he's going to show us today. So having said all that, that's the main theme of John 14, 15, and 16. Now, if you would want to add anything to that, because I know you're right in sync with that, with the Holy Spirit. You always say, and every time you say, that's what the Holy Spirit told me to do on your radio program on Wednesday night, I always hope that people don't look at her as a snake charmer. You know, where God told me to tell you that you're to sell everything you got and move to Kansas City from Florida or from Florida to Kansas City. No, that's not the issue. This is real. When you say that this is the peace you get about something, or you get a piece of wisdom pops into your head, and it's not something you've been looking for or you've been even studying. So if you want to elaborate on that, and then I'm going to go ahead to John 15, and we're going to start in verse 17.
Okay.
Do you want to add anything to that?
There's something that someone said to me once, and for a while I still didn't quite get it, but now I do, and that is that you said that you never hear God audibly and know. But it's something that you'll hear somebody say, it's like this still, quiet, small voice. And again, it's not out
it's
loud.
Almost louder. It's almost louder than audible. You know?
Yes.
Even
yes.
Though it is.
I love that you said that.
It is. I mean, there's no mistaking it's him.
Yes. Yes. Even though you don't hear anything like a person talking, but it is, I like that you said it's almost louder than an actual person talking, because it is. You can't deny it. Yes, you can't deny
right.
it. You cannot. It is, it's like, I'm trying to say,
it's unexplainable,
you can't compare
really.
It to anything. You can't
no.
compare it to anything, but it is. It's demanding.
Other than
it's,
you
it's
know,
like,
you know that
yes.
there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yes, and it is. You will listen to me. It's very attention getting. It is.
Yes.
You know, but there. But I went for several years. I went for several years reading books on how to hear the voice of God. How to. Because it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts, Carl. Because
I'm up here at 2:30 in the morning sitting here, and I hadn't gone to bed yet. That's my usual get up time. But I'm here, and I driving me nuts. I was getting to the point where I was, I won't know if I was more mad or panicking.
Yeah.
It does drive
me nuts. I wanted to hear that. I wanted what these other people had, and I didn't know how to get it. I mean, I wanted it. I wanted it so badly, and I couldn't understand how all these other people were hearing God's voice, were hearing from God, and I didn't have that, and I wanted that close relationship with Him, and I didn't understand. And I know that there are people out there, I'm sure that there are at least a few people, if not more than a few, that listen to you and I and are at that same point. How do you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you know it's him?
It's part of the growth.
Yes. And I can tell you that it only comes with building a closer relationship with him. There's nothing you can do or say. You can't just say, you know, Lord, let me hear you or something. It's not some magic words or some particular prayer. It comes from getting a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. A closer relationship with God. It comes from walking closer
Amen.
With the Holy Spirit and letting Him control your life more. It's like it's sort of like this is the best thing I can give you, and it still doesn't fit perfectly, but it's the closest I can get. It's like if you're married, and if you're not married, let's just say if you have a very, very, very close friend that doesn't quite do it, but it's the closest I can give you. And you've become closer and closer and closer, you know, over time, until you get to the point where you're so close that you almost know what each other is thinking. I don't mean that in some mystical or psychic
right.
way. I mean it in a way that you just know each other so well, so well. And I used to be engaged to someone that we were that intimate, and I don't mean that in a sexual way, but we were that close. We knew each other so well. I mean, we were just with each other all the time, and that's it right there. You need to be with the Holy Spirit all the time. and you will suddenly begin to recognize his voice. It's like if you, that friend of yours, that husband, you know, walked up behind you and you, you couldn't see him, you didn't know who they were, but you recognize if they put their hand on your shoulder, oh, I know that person. You know them so well that they put their hand on your shoulder and you recognize their hand. They whisper behind you and you recognize their voice so well that even if they're whispering, you recognize their voice. You're that close to them. You just know them so well. But that's what you have to do. You read scripture, you pray, and you get so close to God that you finally begin to recognize his presence, his voice, because you just know him so well and he knows you.
I agree with it.
Yeah.
It transcends that, but that's a good way of expressing it in the human understanding.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I can't explain it any better for that you can understand it until you get there, you know.
Amen.
Many of these spiritual things are so difficult to explain because you just have to live it. You just have to live it. That's why all these books, I'm telling you, you might as well flush your money down the toilet. You might as well. A book cannot really explain to you any more than this last several words that I've given you. They really can't. Just become closer to God. Build your relationship with him.
Well, you know what?
And it will happen.
As is my custom, let's put a Bible verse to this. Read Matthew 6:33. Exactly
right.
What you're saying. But we don't believe this, Raven. We're not taught in the current Laodicean church, which we are in, we're not taught to go to God first in anything. And here's Jesus proving it.
Perfect verse.
It is.
Seek first.
Yeah, go ahead.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yes.
There you go. We don't believe it. We don't teach it in churches. Just like we believe you've got to go to the church board, to the church, whoever their councils are. And not only that, but they've got councils that have certain areas of expertise. And we never even consider going to the Holy Spirit person. Now, what we will do, and Jim talked about this the other day, we'll go ahead and make decisions on what man thinks, and then we will be the final editor, maybe, of what man thinks. And then we go to prayer and ask God to bless what we've decided to do. But very rarely in my life, it's only been recently where I've gone to God first. It's part of the growth period. It really is. The problem is the churches, and this is a general statement for those people who want to throw darts at my picture, waiting for me to send them a picture. I'm not saying your church. I don't even know who's listening for sure. In fact, most of the people I don't probably that listen on this thing. I don't know. Maybe one or two I know. It's just that the churches today are not pointing you. And when this guy said that today with James 1:5 says, I thought, man, it's about time someone comes up and acknowledges it.
Yeah.
But we want to point you to the church leadership. It's just exactly Raven. And then this is where, again, if I get people upset, I'm not meaning to get you upset, but I want you to go and read Acts 28. This is exactly what I see happening in Laodicean church today, and this is, I'm sorry, I see it. If I look and see, if I look at a light and I say it's green, don't crucify me because I see it's green if it's green. But I want to look at Acts 20. Hold on a minute. I said Acts 20, not 28. Acts 20. And I want you to read verse 28 and 29, and then we'll read 30 after 28 and 29.
Okay. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I, 28 and what? 28, 29,
29 and 30? And then, yeah, well, we'll read 30 after 28 and 29, because this is
okay.
going to show you why I am convinced that the modern Laodicean church does not point people to God first, and either any questions you have, any wisdom you need, or to go to God only to learn. They want to point you to people. And I think 30 states it well. Go ahead.
Okay. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock.
Now, I feel, not feel, I see it. The reason that they're everyone is directing you to their people rather than to God first in any matter, whether it be a question, you need wisdom or understanding the scripture or anything. Read 30, and Paul is telling us about it. If it wasn't a problem, and Paul says in latter times after his departure, that's what we're in now. I'm telling you, we are full-blown Laodicea today. Now, people say, oh, Carl, you're trying to get people not to go. No, I'm not. I go every week, and I don't miss. But look at 30, verse 30. This is what I think is the main disruption to John 14, 15, and 16 and James chapter 1, verse 5.
Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves.
That is what I see happening. To the point
yes.
that one church openly criticizes, making a joke of it, because they're saying, oh, that was only meant in love, like heck. They make fun of other denominations and other churches.
Yes.
You got a problem with a church or a denomination, state the problem. Don't state the church or the group. It's not necessary to do that. The problem is what has to be exposed, because we're all for war doing this. The flesh wants everybody to think we're the best. But I see Acts 20, 30. I see it prolific in the conversation we're having here about going to the Holy Spirit for everything, or going to when you said you need something. God is the last. We usually, in my lifetime, Raven, as being a Christian, I usually went to God third or fourth on the list as opposed to first. And I did. It's only been recently that Matthew 6:33 that you read. Don't go to him to seek this. Don't go to him to seek anything. Seek him, and he will give it to you.
Yes.
All right, now
seek
this
his
is basically
will.
The sum. This is the sum and substance of John 14, 15, and 16. So why don't we go ahead then, Raven, and let's read John 15 and read 17 and 18, and then I will give us some other verses to explain this.
All right. I have to get back to John 15. Just a moment.
That's all right. John 15, 18, and 19.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world,
what is that? Okay, what is that telling you though? Why are they hating you? In effect, root cause.
Because we love him. Because they hate Christ. They hate God.
And the problem is they see God in you. That's why they hate you.
Exactly. We should not be surprised.
Folks. No, he's telling us this. And let me tell you something. Where it hurts, if you take that world, the word the world hates you, and put in your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, your sons, your daughters. That's where this thing really stings. But I tell you, I've been part of that, and I think every Christian is to some degree, where people closest to you, they the Holy Spirit, you can't hide them if he's in you, and it turns people against you, and it hurts. It does hurt.
Yes. Yeah. I know we've talked about this before, but you know, I had a conversation with my daughter today, again, you know, and I've had these before, and you know, it came around
which
to God
one?
Again, and
which
she
one?
Told, and she, Hannah,
which one? The one in this
the
area.
One that lives
okay.
here, yeah, the one that lives
okay,
here near
gotcha.
Me, and
okay.
I mean, and it was a very cordial, kind, loving conversation. You know, we didn't argue or anything, but she told me, she said, "Mom, I'm never going to change my belief." And now we have a choice when a family member tells us that. We can get upset, you know, and we can argue with them about it.
No.
But that doesn't help. It doesn't help. We were having
a nice
conversation.
It exacerbates the situation,
Yep. So I just told her, I said, you know what, Hannah? I said, I love you, and I'll always love you no matter what. I still pray that, you know, that you are going to come to Christ, but I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to argue with you about it. You know, I know that you're where you are at now, and I'm where I'm at. And as long as we can, you know, still love each other where we are, you know, that's a good thing where we are, you know, and that's where you have to be. You know, you don't have to approve of you know, anyone's of where anybody is living, you know, where they are or anything, but she understands that. I mean, she's a good kid. I call her a kid. She's 30, you know, but it's not that she's living this horrible immoral life or, you know, she's better than most people are, but she's a sinner, you know, which we all are. But some of us are saved by grace, you know, and she's not there at this point in time. But you know what? My dad wasn't until a year before he died. He was in a very, very bad situation. But you know what? He was no more of a sinner than she is or than I am without God or than anybody else. And I can, he was no more of a sinner, and she's no more of a sinner, and I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to upset a few people, but she's no worse than the trans, or than the trans person who's out there getting his or her, wanting to get his or her sex change or whatever. They're all sinners without God. What we need to do is pray for them, love them, and give them the gospel. Every single one of them, no matter how much you disagree with where they are, we need to love them into the faith. We're never going to hate them into the faith. It's never going to happen.
Well, read that 19 again, and then I'm going to have you go to something else. I'm going to have you read 19 again. And because why do they hate you? Because you're following Christ. I'm going to have you read verse 22, and I think that answers it.
Okay. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Now why?
They hate us because of
ours
is love.
Okay, but what I'm getting to, why just because you're following Christ and they hate you? Look at 22.
If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Yes. It's like a great big billboard right in front of them.
Yeah, if you're taking her to Walmart or to the grocery store or whatever, It's just something that emanates from you that you can't help. It's I hate to use this example. It's almost like very strong perfume or something you're wearing. It's just you can't, and the Holy Spirit is working on trying to convict the other person of sin and the need to repent. And they get very upset with that. It's like when I first moved to the city that I'm in now in 1966, I made $40 a week take home. And with that, I had to pay everything. And I got the cheapest apartment I could find at that time. I had one day to find an apartment, and I had no car. I was walking, and lo and behold, in downtown, not far from the Greyhound bus station in downtown, our major metropolis here, which is a minor metropolis, I found a place for $60 a month, and that included all furnishing, all utilities, which was phenomenal even back then. But every time I would come at home and I'd turn the lights on in a room, you could see the cockroaches squirming. It's just, there's something about being around a person that has the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is active in them. This verse 22 applies.
Yeah.
That is the conviction they're under, and they feel that conviction just from your presence. That's why they hate you, or they dislike you, or they get irritated by you. It's not that they dislike you as a person. It's just that you make them feel uncomfortable. You really do.
Yes.
I've got that situation right now, Raven, going on. I do have that with a very close relative. And it's not that they're not that person dislikes me, or I don't think so. I mean, someone as wonderful as I am, that can't happen. But and that's a joke, folks. But the problem is, no matter what I do, even if we're at a baseball game or a football game or a car race, which I truly love, it's just something. It's something you don't want to hide. But you may not even be talking about it, but still, verse 22 is what's happening.
Yeah.
You're convicting him of sin just by your presence.
Oh, it's just like I told you, Addison will say to me, why are you so happy all the time, Gammy? You know, my granddaughter. She'll say, why are you so happy all the time, Gammy? And she's almost frustrated by it. No, not almost. She gets frustrated by it. Because she doesn't have that.
Hold on. I interrupt intentionally. I asked the same question.
What?
Of you. I asked the same question of you. Well, you know, I've told you that I don't have the joy that you have, and I really don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
No, I'm not asking it that I don't understand it. But
right. That's the difference, though. See, you understand
it. I am craving. I'm craving that joy that I don't have all the time.
But she doesn't get it, and it upsets her.
I understand.
It bothers
her. There is a difference. Yeah, you're right.
It bothers her that I'm so joyful. She doesn't like it.
No, that doesn't.
She will.
I got to admit, I'm jealous of it. In a good way, but it doesn't bother me. I wish I had more.
Yeah, she'll straight up tell me, why do you have to be so happy all the time? Why are you so happy? You're always smiling. You're always – it drives her nuts. But it's because she doesn't have it, and she doesn't understand where it's coming from. She doesn't know anybody like that, you know? And so it just drives her crazy. She's like, why do you have to always smile? Why do you have to always be so happy? Why do you always have to be so nice to people? I'm like, why? Is there something wrong with that? She's, no, but I don't get it. I don't understand why you're just always smiling and happy.
She doesn't.
Well,
and you know what, Raven? Pastor Rand's addressed that today. Let me throw you out his opinion. And he wasn't exactly speaking the words you are, but the same context. He said that the people who don't experience the joy of the Lord, he says, they focus on the storm rather than on Christ. He says, regardless of the storm, if you focus on Christ, you will not be affected by the, you know, you will not be affected. Okay. And I think that's...
I don't want anybody out there. I don't want anybody to get the idea that I am this perfect Christian who is never, who nothing ever bothers me, because that's not so. You know, I am.
No, but what it does,
I am not.
When it does, you, when it does, I think you have a greater proclivity to go to the to do Matthew 6:33. I tend to get upset with the problem more, and I notice you don't as much as I do. I don't focus
I think
on
I tend
Christ.
To,
I'll focus on the problem.
Yeah, I do tend to like snap back to him quicker, but I've gone through a lot to get me to that point. You know what I mean? I mean, I've really, he has allowed me to go through a lot of stuff to get me to here. It has been a rough road. So I really hate to, I don't want anybody to think that this has been some sort of, oh, gee, I, you know, it's just been some sort of Wizard of Oz, Yellow Brick Road thing.
I guess that would actually be a pretty good.
That actually might be a pretty good. What do I want to say? A pretty good demonstration of what it's been like, because she went through a lot of garbage. But but do you see what I mean? It wasn't some sort of cheerful.
No, I don't. Cause
oh,
I never
saw beautiful.
The movie.
Yeah.
I never saw the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But it's been very, very difficult for a very, very long time. But God used it all to make me see the only way to get through is to completely rely on him, period. Even when it looks like relying on him is not working, it is working. Yes. It is working. It just hasn't manifested in my life yet. I just haven't seen it, but it's working. I have to rely on that. I have to
believe that
he's actually doing it.
And that's what Pastor Ransel is saying today. And he's saying if you will start focusing on Christ rather than the problem, your whole approach and your whole demeanor will be, and your whole attitude will change significantly, because you're not focusing on the problem, but the one who's already solved the problem, even if you don't see it.
Yeah, yeah. Carl, a year ago, I had no one to spend Mother's Day with. This year, I got so much going on today that I had to put my son off until tomorrow. I don't have the time for him. He wants to celebrate Mother's Day with me.
Hold on. Let's not blow by that. Because how long had it been up until a couple of months ago or a month ago you hadn't talked to him?
3 years. 3 years for him. It was 6 years for my daughter, and almost a year to the day. It was almost a year to the day that God brought my youngest daughter back into my life, that he brought my son back into my life. And interestingly, it was almost, 2020. It was almost 2 years. It was like 2 years after, it was 2020 that he brought my middle child back to me. And then 2022, he brought back my other daughter. And then 2023, he brought back my son. But see, it's only because I gave it up. I believed.
That is tough to give it up. But unless you do what Rand's Unless you do what Rand said today, and I see you doing it, you've got to do what Matthew 6 says, not pray for the sun to come back necessarily, but seek Jesus Christ rather than the solution.
Yes. I gave them completely up to him. I think this was really important, Carl. I said, they're not my children. They are yours.
And they're not.
You loaned them to me temporarily.
But that, Raven, that's what we should take with anything. If we lose our money or our finances, it's not ours. God's just given it to us. We got to take it. But I'm telling you, it's still not something that I won't say as good as you are, because that's not the word, because none of us have anything down. It's God working it out. But I'm not as willing to do what Pastor said today, and that is focus on Christ rather than the problem. I'm not.
But this is God doing that work in us to bring us to that point. He does that.
That's right.
He does the work in us too, you know. But that's what I had to do. I had to give it up to him completely and then leave it there. Leave it at the cross and walk away and say, I give it up, and I'm not going to take it back up again. I'm not taking it back up again.
And that's the tough
part. And, the only time I ever contacted them, I contacted the first one that came back. I contacted her on Christmas and said, Merry Christmas. And on New Year's, she contacted me back. I didn't try to keep going after. I just let it go. She contacted me back on New Year's 2020. The second one, I contacted her just to tell her that her grandfather had passed away. And that's how we started talking again. She replied to me. And then my son,
really?
I didn't contact him at all. My son, I didn't contact him at all. I didn't say a word to him. All of a sudden, out of the blue, but obviously it wasn't chance.
Yeah.
You know, God was in control. And he just all of a sudden contacted me and said, and apologized to me, which I never expected. Again, I say I never expected it, but what I expected was just for God to handle it. And he did. And my kids.
And he will.
Well, yes. Now, my daughter in Nebraska,
he will.
Not surprised at all. My daughter in Nebraska knows the Lord. And so she's not surprised by any of this. But the kids who came back to me, of course, they don't see that it was God's intervention. And, this was their decision, right? But this is all God. This is all God.
Well, let's go back to John 15 again, and I want you to read 19 and 20, and then I want you to read 19 and 20, and then I'm going to give you in Matthew and Mark where Jesus explains specifically what's going to happen. And this, folks, is to get people prepared for right now. People who have been taught, again, in Laodicean Church, that we're not going to go through tribulation, please read 19 and 20, and it's in red. It's in red. It's not in Carl blue or Raven green. It's in red.
If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also.
They have persecuted me. They will persecute you. And yet, Raven, this weekend I've heard that we, thank be to God, are not going to go through tribulation. Now, let's see what Jesus says about that. Go to Matthew 24 and read 9 through 13. Let's see what Jesus says, and he's talking to disciples. This is not
24.
To argue with church. This is to show you the Bible. Forget what the people in church, including we, say. You go to what God says, period. Nothing else is worth discussing.
Right. Absolutely. 24, verse 9.
Through 13.
Okay. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, yes, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he
This is where, before you read that, this verse 13 is where I think what Rand said today is that you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, and saying that you tend to go there quicker than I do. This is where verse 13, you will only endure if you do what you and Rand advocate. You can't do 13 by willpower.
No. No, but he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Which can only happen by keeping your eyes on Christ, not the problem.
Yeah.
Because the problems that I get flustered about now, folks, are a Sunday school picnic compared to what's happening in this country right now and being prepared for people that are of faith.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you something, and this is fact. This is not my negative opinion, and I am not a political animal. I've never missed voting, but I'm not one who lives and eats and breathes and sleeps for politics. When Mr. Clinton was president, Janet Reno, and this is written fact, his attorney general, top cop in the United States, listed born-again Christians as a bigger threat to national security than Islam.
Yeah, they still do.
We're
still considered
that. I think it's growing. But I'm just saying this to people, not to get anybody depressed, but Jesus Christ is warning us in Matthew chapter 15, 18 and 19. John 15 and Matthew 24:9-12. He's telling us it's going to happen. Don't buy into this nonsense that we're not going to go through the Great Tribulation. We are.
Yeah.
And the only solution, Raven, is verse 13. And you can't endure unless we allow the Holy Spirit to get us to the point that we like you. It's almost like I throw a baseball at you, and instinctively your hand come up. Now, you don't think about putting your hand up to catch the baseball or something to protect. It's an instinct. And I see, and I'm not trying to throw roses at you, but I see that you had that tendency to go to Matthew 6:33 much quicker than what I do, and that's the only way that we're going to get to endure. So where I'm going with that, as the Holy Spirit now has got to bring us to Hebrews 12 and chasten us and chastise us and discipline us, so not to hurt us or harm us or make us miserable, but to get us to where no matter what happens, we go to Him first. This is critical. This is what I got out of the whole sermon today, and this goes in very well with what we're reading today. We have got to get to the point, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can do it. And he does it with Hebrews 12, which is chastening, chastising. And he's got to do it, because unless we get there, folks, we're going to be destroyed when these persecutions come.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I see all this in John 15. I really do, in just these couple of verses. I realize we've been on this 1 hour already, and I haven't even gotten into new ground. Verse 22 is going to be new ground. But I want to make people aware of that, folks, not to depress you, but to right now ask the Holy Spirit to gently start putting you through trials and tribulations that he will get you through, to get us as I pray for daily, to make my first point of movement or thought is to go to him. You're going to have to, or you're not going to endure when this stuff gets down to taking your life and your family. So you're not.
That's what James 1:2-4 tells us. Without trial, there will be no growth.
No, do me a favor, read it, because James 1, 2 through 4 has to go with us. In fact, if you take that verse, hold on. If we go to Matthew, where you were, it was Matthew 24, 11 or something. Bear with me.
Okay.
Matthew 24, 13. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Go and read James 1:1-2. Read that, because this is what we need to pray to God to start doing. Raven, I am praying this every day, even though I'm telling God, when you send these trials my way, I'm not going to act very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what, this is exactly what it said. It's what brings growth in us. It gives us spiritual growth.
Read it.
My brethren, count it all joy. Boy, what a, count it all joy when you fall into various trials.
That is an oxymoron of the first degree.
Yeah. But
everything we learn
is true.
But everything we learn in the current seeker-sensitive Laodicean church is to make everything look good and feel good. No, we've got to start feeling the problems and the pressure now when it's nothing, because when the Antichrist is here, even though churches and many of them say we're not going to go through it, read your Bible.
This verse is the exact tribulation. This verse is the exact opposite of the prosperity gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
The exact opposite.
Or the seeker-sensitive. The seeker-sensitive is put your feet up on the clouds of glory and sing hymns, and nothing's going to bother you. Jesus Christ promises they're going to kill us. It's coming. In fact, it's not coming, Raven. In every other country in this world, I won't say every country, in many countries in this world, it's instant assassination.
Yeah.
We're blessed
in
this country still.
Yes. Carl, I just want to say these two verses, 2-4, are what really helped me become closer to God.
Elaborate on it, Raven, because every one of these people out here that are sincere people, and they wouldn't be listening to us if they weren't sincere. Not that we're anything, but to be listening to us beat our gums. These people are going to go through. Now, we're not going to go through the great day of wrath, and that's Romans 5:9 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Read those two verses. It never says we're not going to go through tribulation. We're not going to go through the great day of wrath, but go ahead and elaborate on that. This is what people need today. They don't need these good time Charlie Newt Rockney halftime sermons to make you feel good in your sin.
Right. Count it all joy when you, and it's my brethren. So we're talking to Christians.
Believers.
Count it all.
Absolutely.
Yes, believers. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? How can I do that? This is how. Verse 3.
That is ridiculous.
Knowing.
See, right there, that ought to get someone's attention, that this is beyond human understanding.
Yes. Yes. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. Knowing
Amen.
That, yes, you must go to the Holy Spirit to do this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4, but let that patience have its perfect work. So it's going to work inside you as you go through these trials, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is what he's going to grow your faith. He's going to mature you. And so now, this is how I'm able to have that joy. This is how I'm able to turn right back to him when things start getting bad, because
I
look at that.
I understand it.
Yep. because what he does is I hear him and he says, remember, there's a reason you're going through this. Look at me. Remember, there's a purpose. I have never failed you. I have never hurt you. Every single time you've gone through something, I've allowed you to go through it for a reason, and you've come out the other side better than ever before.
That is the thing that I think, Raven, I'm going to take away from everything you said in the last hour and 5 minutes. He is going to allow us to go through this so that we come out with a thicker skin so we don't get injured with this stuff.
Yep.
That is his whole purpose of it.
Yeah. He says to me, listen, have I ever failed you? Have I ever forsaken you? Never. Not once. He's always been there with his arms around me to say, I'm getting you through this. Just trust me.
That's an interesting statement, Raven. I think of that probably 5 times a week. There is not one time that I can say that God let me down. That is an amazing statement. That's true. I'm not just saying what I should say because it's a Bible study. I don't believe in that.
Yeah. If we truly trust him, if we truly believe he is God, if we believe he is who he says he is, then, and see, it took me a long time to get to that point where I just am able to say, okay,
You made that point a while ago when you said you went through a lot of stuff for a long time.
Yeah, but no matter what I'm in now. No.
No.
But we have to do. We have to just say
this is working in the gym, and I've unfortunately did that. And it's a long process of sweating and soreness and improving and soreness and hurting.
Yeah.
I mean, there are no shortcuts. And that's where the Laodicean church today is trying to sell people shortcuts.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get them high on emotion. It had nothing to do with emotion. It's your reasoning.
Yeah.
It's your trusting the God, because, folks, what we've been through in our lifetime is going to be, all of it put together, isn't even going to be the beginning of what we're going to go through when the Great Tribulation comes, which I think we are getting prepared in the world right now for the coming of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
One of the signs of the Antichrist coming is that evil will run its course. Evil is running its course, even in this country, because the churches have fallen asleep, and that's a general statement. I'm not saying every church. That would be stupider than I sound.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back and highlight another thought. It's a repetitive statement, and this is where I think that we got to point James 1:5, James 1:2-4. Read Mark 13:13 again. Unless you allow the Holy Spirit to chastise you, like you just said, in Romans and James 1:2-4, you're not going to be able to do this on commitment or willpower or religiosity or your church attendance. That has nothing to do with it. I'm not saying don't go to church. I advocate going more than we do.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
And
Jesus repeats it in all the Gospels, because there's no other way we're going to endure.
And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved.
That's why the Holy Spirit is doing what you said in James 1:2-4.
Yes. Yes.
He's actually breaking you of all your abilities to resist. You can't resist what's coming on your own. You're going to cave.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing, Carl, and that is, this has just hit me. Those first few words in James 1:2, count it all joy. You know, we can... So often we can sit here and just say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I believe it's going to work, but count it joy.
See,
to
I
be
don't.
Happy?
When I go, Raven, even when I go through it the right way, I'm going through it in torment. I don't count
mm-hmm.
joy, but I understand what you should, because it's going to be the only thing that's going to save you when this persecution comes.
That's it right there. What we have to get to this point where the Holy Spirit is working in us so much that when something bad happens, even if for a moment it knocks
yep.
us down, we realize
yep.
it makes us realize, you know what? This is for my betterment. That's what the rest of those couple verses means. Knowing that God is going to refine me. He's going to make me closer to him through all this. I'm actually going to know him better because of all this. This, we have to be able to look past all the garbage that we're going through right now and see to the end. See what God wants for us out of it all. And realize that the last time, see, this is what he did for me at one point. I can't tell you what, there wasn't a thing that happened. It was me in prayer. I had to go to him in prayer and let him speak to me and say, listen to me, you have to realize I have never let you down. It was only through prayer that I understood these verses.
Okay,
you
now let me interrupt here a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
The fact
yeah.
that you went to prayer means something had to really grind your gears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. There is no easy way through. Raven, in 1991,
no.
I lived in the northeastern part of the United States in a nice state, New Hampshire. But when I moved
mm-hmm.
there in 1990, there was nothing to do in the town I lived in, so I did something that I joined a gym, and I kept it
okay.
up, of course, not anywhere near. I still do it today, but not anywhere at 80, not anywhere near what I did when I was 50. But these people mm-hmm. in the gym would be sweating, and you'd see pain in their face, and yet you would see them every day. They almost enjoyed it. And that's what it gets to, because
oh, yeah.
they know that it's almost a physical, it's not physical, but it's the same thing. These people were enjoying that suffering, and
yep.
it was suffering because I did it.
I used to work out that way. I was so determined at one point to work out, because I knew that end game, that at one time I severely sprained my ankle. I mean, real bad. I was working out in the gym on crutches. On crutches. That's
no,
how determined
I
was.
I don't
yeah,
think
I
was that.
On. I was on crutches for about 6 weeks in the gym. Yeah, I was determined. And this is, that's the determination of the Holy Spirit that you have to have in you. You have to. But I, that day, Carl, that this realization, this James 2-4 came over me, I was in prayer for about 2 to 3 hours. I mean, sometimes it
which
just
means
needs
you,
to be
which
this.
Which means you were desperate to the point that there was no other way out.
Yes. That is
maybe
absolutely true.
Maybe we got to get to the point where we have no other options.
Yes.
And I think the Holy Spirit yes. brings you to that point.
I agree with that. Yeah. I was quite literally between a rock and a hard place. I was standing facing a wall, and it was like there was a wall behind me, a wall on each side, and it was like, okay, either you walk through the wall or you let the Holy Spirit transport you to where you really need to be. I mean, that's kind of like what it was. It was
okay, you were sort
they're
of
just
down
work,
in the pit that they You were in a pit like
yeah.
they threw David in. There's no, not Joseph. There's no
yes.
way out.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I was in a prison
now,
of my own making.
Okay. Wouldn't you say, though, that when you're in this pit like they threw Joseph into. That's what the Holy Spirit allows to happen to us, so we have no one to turn to but him.
Yes. All I could do was cry out and say, God, please help me. Yes.
I see the – I know it works, and I've agreed with a lot of things you said, like he never has let me down, and I mean that no matter how bad things have gotten.
Yeah.
But this
see,
is why we need
here's
to have
the thing.
Joy.
I only let myself down. That's what I had to see. I let myself down over and over and over and over again. But anytime I really let him be in control, anytime I really said, just gave myself to him and said, Lord, I believe you, he never let me down, ever, ever. I only ever let myself down. I put myself into a prison of my own making. I did that to me. I did that to me. The only one that could bring me out was him.
I know it's true. Having known you, I know this is not pious platitude.
Oh, no.
No, I know
I could give you some... I could give you some pious garbage that I went through before thinking I could do it. I could be godly enough somehow on my own. I was very religious the first many years. I thought I was so good. My daughter and I
and
had
Raven,
this talk today. I was so religious.
And I hate to say this, but I see in most churches, and I have taken the time to listen to a lot of them and even visit, I see a tremendous variance there where they are trying to get you steeled up. And if you go to them and go to their studies and buy their study guides, and it's implied, certainly in some cases explicitly stated, that they have the answer, and they should be leading you to the one who has the answer. And that's what I hope, folks, that you see from every one of these studies that we have done. And we have done approximately 50 of them in the last 3 years. It's 3 years and 1 month now. So say 150 is we are not trying to point you to anything we know, think, or do, but point you to the one that we are seeking dependence on 24 hours a day. And it's a never-ending process. It's a never, I think James 1, 2 through 4 goes till you die. You never fully arrive, not in this world.
Yeah, yes, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, let's, in a little bit of time we got left, let's go ahead and read James, John 15, read 20, 21. 20 and 21.
Okay. John 15, 20 and 21.
All right. This is a reminder. He's telling us. Remember the words he's telling us. Don't just read 18 and 19 and all the other verses we've given today, 22 and Acts 20, 28 through 31. Don't just read them. Remember these. Keep them in mind, folks, because when the going gets tough, you have no other option than him.
Yeah. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
How can
if they
people
kept my
read
word,
that, Raven? Hold on. How can they read it? They will persecute you. It's not a 99 and 44, 100% chance like Ivory Soap commercials say. They will persecute, and they say, we're not going to go through the tribulation when Jesus in Matthew 24 devotes about 10 verses to it. That's what I say, folks. Get out of your mind whatever you've heard from anybody and just read what the Bible says. There'll be less confusion. Now, we're not going to go through the great day of wrath. And Romans 5:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 specifically stated. But nowhere in the Bible it says we're not going to go through tribulation. Go ahead.
But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me.
Ah, there's the root cause problem.
Yep.
The root cause problem, why you bothered your kids and why I have relatives I bother, is because we can't help. The Holy Spirit's light is going to shine in us. It's not something we can dim. Oh, we could quit, but that's ridiculous. This is why people don't like us. See, it's not us they don't like. It's the God in us. And the reason, Raven, this is sad. Listen to this again, what you just said. They know not him that sent me. They don't just reject Jesus. They're rejecting God himself.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah,
I've
absolutely.
I've got relatives who've said to me, and I know people, well, I don't buy into Jesus Christ totally, but I do pray to God. No, you don't.
Right. Right. You don't pray to the same God we pray to.
There you go. Now, verse 22, you can read that. It's a repeat. This is what people see in us. They see their sin being, they see the Holy Spirit putting his thumb on their sin, and they don't like it. And it's not something you and I do. Like you said, you don't even argue with your kids about this stuff, or you didn't.
No. Mm-mm. If I had not come and spoken to them.
Yeah.
If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin.
And that is partly because of your presence radiating the conviction.
Yeah.
Now here's a good one. For those who say, oh, I don't buy into Jesus, but I pray to God. Read 23. This is in red. This is Jesus.
You.
I don't care what people say. Jesus' words have to be right.
He who hates me hates my Father also.
Do you see the condition your father was in for 92 years of his life?
Oh,
think
yeah.
Of this. And that's a way he could have gone into eternity, except right before he died. How long before he died did he believe the gospel? Months, wasn't it?
1 year.
Oh,
well, actually,
okay.
It was.
I forgot
it was nine
the time
months.
Span. What it was? Okay.
It was.
All
it
right.
was nine
so,
months.
But in the
yeah.
view of 93 years,
right?
That's quite a ratio.
Yeah.
He that hates me hates the Father. Okay. Continue with 24. Let's try to go through 27.
If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened
because
that the word
the
might
one,
be...
They know the works that, hold on, they know the works in 24 were done by God. They know it.
Yes.
You can't deny it. Raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. Okay, go ahead.
But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause.
Hmm.
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
There you go. There again, James 1:5. Hold on, James 1:5. What Mary did as a 14-year-old when she agreed to be the mother of the physical mother of Jesus Christ, she went to God with her confusion. Don't go to Carl. Don't go to Raven. Don't go to your counselor. Don't go to Christian psychologists first. Go to God first and ask him, who does he want to help you? And he may not give you an answer. He may have the answer. Isn't that amazing? That's a revolutionary thought I've never heard. Probably never thought of.
Yeah.
He may have the answer alone. I love verse 26. Just think of that. He will testify of me. He will take everything that I have told, everything. And what has the Spirit given you? everything that comes from the Father. He doesn't tell you anything other than what the Father. Now, what are we to do with all this that we just read in John 14 and 15? Read verse 27.
And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
There you go. The beginning of your journey. You've been with him. He's never left your side. He never will, unless you tell him you don't want him anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Anything you want to say in summation? We'll start 16 next week. Next week we'll start 16. All right. We prayed a prayer in the beginning, which we do all the time. And it's not prayer that we pray, folks, just to sound holy for a Bible study. It's a prayer we sincerely rely on, because there's no way that we are going to be able to communicate the spiritual meanings that the Holy Spirit has given to you as you're studying and listening. It's impossible. We can't do it. So why don't you go ahead and thank the Holy Spirit in prayer, and we'll give the next program. We've got 3 minutes and the next program comes on. So let's go ahead and pray and thank whatever you want to do, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to pray for.
Father, thank you so much for, I just have to say thank you so much for giving me a beautiful day today, Lord, for bringing my children back to me. And I want to pray for all those out there who also are could be alone, could maybe be separated from families, Lord. I pray that they would release their children to you, so that you can work in their life, Lord, and bring them back in, reunited with their families as well. Lord, we know that the only way that you will work with them is if they release everything to you. We have to give everything up to you, Lord, to realize that you are in control. We are not. We are not in control. We're not in control of our ministries, which are really yours. We're not in control of our money, our family, our lives. We belong to you.
Wow. How true
and
that
we,
is.
And we must submit to you completely to do your will. Because we love you, give us, when we turn away and forget, to look to you for everything. Father, we, in this human body, in this flesh, we are not perfect, but we know that you have such mercy and grace that as long as we repent and come back to you, you forgive us every time. Thank you, Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Raven, thank you. Good job. I will talk to you again, but we'll be back next
I'll
week.
I'll see you in a little while.
I plan on it.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'll see you in a little while.
Yep. We got another Bible study we go to at 6 o'clock, folks. So have a good day, and thanks for listening. Take care. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.